How do you measure the success of your employer brand efforts? Maybe you just notice more smiles on people's faces, so you feel like your work is justified. Or maybe you are on best places to work lists and feel awarded for your hard work. Well, we prefer the hard numbers. The Employer Brand Index helps you calculate the return on investment of your employer brand, and in turn, validates the work you are doing to your organization. Having a great employer brand means you have to offer a great candidate experience, employee experience, and even alumni experience. When you use insights from our Employer Brand Index, you can take action and move the needle. Want to know more? Just get in touch. Go to employerbrandindex.co.
Hey, Sansevesan, it's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast, brought to you by your friends at Link Humans, where we do data-driven employer branding. Now, who's ever heard of remote employer branding? Surely something that's more relevant than ever. And today, we're talking to a company that's a developer and marketer of software products for inbound marketing, sales, and customer service. Some of you may recognize this voice as well. This person was on the show a couple of years ago, so good to have her back. Let's start the show. Hey, Hannah, how's it going?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
Very good, thanks. So welcome back to the podcast. So refresh our audience on what it is that you do and also the company you work for.
Absolutely. First of all, thank you for having me back. It's good to be here. And I've met a lot of great people in employer branding from doing this podcast about 2 years ago. Yeah. So thanks for that. It's a great community. So thank you, Link Humans. So I'm Hannah Fleischman. I'm the senior manager of employer branding at HubSpot. So HubSpot's a software company. Our mission is to help millions of organizations grow better. And we do that through a platform that includes marketing, sales, and customer success software. So we have about 78,000 customers all over the world, about 120 different countries. So that is what HubSpot does. In terms of our company and our culture, we're really passionate about building and scaling a company culture where people can grow both personally and professionally. We have around 3,500 employees today in 9 global offices, and 400 of those employees work full-time remotely. So even before COVID, though we're all now working remotely, about 400 employees are full-time. So culture has really been a business priority for HubSpot since day one. We published our culture code in 2013, and this was inspired by Netflix's culture deck, which I'm sure you've seen. So we have something similar that kind of captures our core values and how we work. We're really proud because the deck has helped us internally scale culture as we've grown, but it also has 5 million views today and is a huge recruiting tool for us, which is great. And it's helped us build culture internally and externally, and we were really proud to be named the number one best place to work on Glassdoor in 2020. So that was a big win for us and some of the effort we've put into culture over the years.
Good stuff. And out of all those customers, I can also mention that Link Humans is a very happy customer of HubSpot. Let's talk about remote employer branding. So you mentioned you have remote workforce already, but the whole concept of remote employer branding, I've never actually heard it before. So what are we talking about here?
Yes, I'm so glad you asked. I'm really excited to talk about this because we talk about remote work and have been talking about remote work as the future of work. And while that is true, the future is here. So we are all working remotely now, and regardless of how we're working from home during this pandemic, the future was already changing. So remote work is happening. It's here now. So how you market and position your company, not only as a great place to work, but as a great place to work remotely, is really important as that becomes more competitive. Yes, the future of work is changing, but that's already been here. So it's important to note that in Europe, for example, Eurostat reported in 2019 that about 25 million people work remotely. And at HubSpot, our remote population is actually considered our third largest office. So it's not a new concept, but not surprisingly, because of this pandemic, we can expect that employees and candidates are going to expect remote work opportunities more so than they did before. It was interesting. We did an internal survey at HubSpot a couple weeks ago to just get a pulse check on how employees are feeling about remote work. And 61% said that they are planning to work remotely more even after we go back to the office. So thinking about that, it really changes the makeup of your company, and it really changes how you work in your culture, but it also needs to change how you recruit and how you market that culture. So really, that's where remote employer branding comes in. And that's something my team's really been working on and thinking about for about the past year and a half.
Wow. Okay. So you've been gearing up for this long before COVID.
Yeah, absolutely. So, one reason remote work at HubSpot has been important is because we've always had people who have worked remotely. But understandably, until about 2 years ago, remote workers at HubSpot admittedly were more of an afterthought. So that employee experience was more of an afterthought, like it is for a lot of companies. Now we're really recognizing the value that remote work has for our company in terms of hiring. So being able to expand your audience and expand your talent pool beyond your own backyard is a huge competitive advantage. You're missing out on a lot of talent if you're just focused on your city or on your core region. So not only from a diversity perspective, but just from finding the best people, remote has a massive impact on your ability to hire and scale. So for that reason, remote work is something we've taken seriously and invested in for a while. But I would say about 2 years ago was when we really started to rethink what is our remote employee experience and that culture experience like, and how do we make sure that's not an afterthought, that's actually really just baked into how we do things.
Yeah, because you mentioned how important culture is to HubSpot. Now, if people are in not just satellite offices, but they are actually working in their homes and may not see their teams physically for months on end, how do you keep the culture alive?
Yeah, exactly. Good question. And that's where the employer branding piece is so important here, because today, the majority of employer branding, unless you're a fully distributed company already, like Zapier or Envision, the majority of your employer branding is really rooted in office culture. It's people, it's photos of people in an office laughing together. It's photos of dogs in the office. It's showing how you collaborate in all of your great facilities. That's what a lot of employer branding is, but that's not actually what your culture is. One thing that we've been talking about is that marketing your employer brand based on your office experience is actually a mistake. We believe culture doesn't have a zip code. It doesn't have an address. It's a set of values and beliefs and the commitments you make to customers. And that really doesn't have a location. So your culture, you don't have a culture and a remote culture. You have one culture. But how you operationalize that is what really matters. So for us, about 2 years ago, we hired our first remote work and inclusion program manager. Her name's Megan Williams. You should follow her on Twitter or LinkedIn. She's fantastic and knows a ton about remote work. And she's made a huge impact in a short time on not just setting remote employees at HubSpot up for success from an IT perspective, an onboarding perspective, and a collaboration perspective, but also just from the culture experience. So she's introduced a lot of virtual team building opportunities, programs virtually for families and for HubSpotters with kids so that they can take advantage of some of those employee resource groups as well, how we build our diversity program virtually. So she's really introduced a lot of programs that previously people thought as something people missed out on unless they were in the office. We don't think that should be the case. You should have the same experience, though different, if you're working remotely and be able to take advantage of all of the great things that a company says that they are, no matter where you are.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think now with the Zoom and Slack tools that everyone's using, I think we're almost going virtual first. So that's the native way of perhaps running an event or something, kickoff trainings or whatever. So we're much more geared up for working remotely and also feeling they're still connected. Now, I did read an article in the Financial Times, I think it was this week, about remote working, that it does definitely works on average. According to this research, the productivity goes up when people work from home. However, the challenge with it is that people that are not in the office and not sort of out of sight, out of mind, they don't get promoted as much and they don't get pay increases. Is that something that you can relate to?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great point, and I'm glad you brought it up, because when we decided, first we decided we were going to invest in getting the remote experience right internally, like from the employee perspective first. And then after that came the employer brand piece of it. And once we decided to really double down on the employer brand piece of it, the first thing we did was just try to understand the landscape and understand how do remote HubSpotters feel? What are their challenges? What are the reasons they enjoy working here remotely? What are the reasons they don't? Because that really gave us a place to start just by listening and kind of doing that persona research with our employees. And the number one thing that came up is that there is this idea that we're worried we might not have the same opportunities to get promoted or for career growth as people do who are in the office, especially because HubSpot is not fully distributed. You know, you're competing with people who might be in the same room every day with your manager, with your teams. And that is a very legitimate concern. But once we realized that and we got that feedback, the team internally and Megan Williams' team internally, you know, partnered with HR, partnered with our learning and development team, and partnered with leadership to bring that concern to light and just make sure that we were examining ourselves and making sure that our promotion criteria, the way that we hire in our recruiting practices, they didn't put emphasis on being face-to-face with someone. So I think first is just recognizing that that is a real problem and that does happen at companies. And then just figuring out in your own systems, how do you fix that? How do you make sure managers are trained on not having favoritism for people that are in the office? How do you make sure managers aren't setting up team events that are only happy hours or things that are in person? So I think a lot of it has to do with one, recognizing that that's a real problem, and two, figuring out how you fix it internally.
Yep, got it. Okay, right. So if we decided we want to establish a remote employer brand, where do we start? How do we go about this?
Yes, great question. So the first thing is that listening piece. So in the same way that when you're developing your EVP and your kind of core employer brand values, the first thing you would do is go talk to your employees. You would understand what makes your culture different, what makes you a uniquely competitive place to work. The same thing goes for when you're establishing your remote employer brand. The only difference here is that you're recognizing that your remote employees might have slightly different answers and experiences and values and things they look for from your in-office employees. Your core values don't change. Your core culture doesn't change. It's just the way it's operationalized and the way that people experience it that's different. So that first piece is really research, like exactly what you just said, understanding that people have concerns about career growth. That's a huge opportunity in your remote employer brand to know what you should be talking about, to know the stories you should be telling, to know that you should be highlighting remote people in positions of leadership to show that that is possible. So the first piece is listening and research. So persona research with your remote community. And if you don't have a remote community yet, but suspect that you will soon, it's external research. There is so much data out there. We published our own remote work report last year about how remote workers think, how they work best, their challenges. There's a ton of data out there that even if you can't do your own persona research internally, you can certainly do it externally. The second thing then, once you've kind of done your research and understand where you sit in the market, would be just identifying how you can have the most impact now and then where you want to go long term. My biggest piece of advice would be not to try to launch into this with this big, flashy, exciting remote work long-term campaign. We started with more of an MVP model, so minimum viable product, and we just said, what are 4 to 5 things we can do quickly and test over the next couple months just to validate ideas about what sticks and where we can add value in a pretty noisy conversation? So remote work is a competitive space. We didn't want to go into it just jumping on the bandwagon. We wanted to add value. And we started that by just testing and experimenting. What types of content, what topics, what partnerships, what platforms, what different things should we be trying? So I recommend not trying to boil the ocean, but really taking more of an experimental approach to get started.
Great. And what are some of the tactics you're using at HubSpot right now to promote the remote employer brand?
We're doing a variety of things. And really, these are all embedded into the work our team already does. So again, our employer brand is really a global universal thing that's all rooted in the same values and a lot of the same tactics and strategies and content platforms. It's just what's the remote story being told on them. So one of the first things we did that I think is important, but it's a big undertaking, was we looked long and hard at what the experience is for a remote candidate looking for a job on our website. And until about 6 months ago, we didn't have a page on our careers website dedicated to remote work. We didn't have a filter on our all jobs page that you could select if you just wanted to see remote jobs. That was sort of the first long-term problem we chose to tackle. There is a lot of integrations and tools and teams that need to be involved in that, but it was the right thing to do. And that's where we wanted to start. Because you can tell a story about being a wonderful remote workplace and all these fun things you do virtually. But if when I come to your website and you're not solving for me and my experience to apply, that speaks louder. That's one thing we did, the career site experience for remote.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. That's really interesting because I can't think of many companies that actually have thought about that to have just as a filter, because I can imagine they will have roles based in different places and then they might say at the bottom, we will also consider remote candidates, but just to have remote as a location, it's it makes so much sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that I think just is going back to how we were saying a lot of the times remote work or remote workers can feel like an afterthought. And that is the experience on a lot of sites. Like, oh, we also offer remote work. We wanted to be a little bit more remote first and say, yes, we have a Berlin office and a page for that. We have a Boston office and a page for that. We also have a huge remote community and a page for that. So I think that experience is a big differentiator. A few other things we've been doing and trying so far. So I mentioned that we published our first remote work report last year. So we published that in November last year, and we did a data survey with employees internally, but also collected data externally from remote workers in Europe and in the US. And we just compiled some of the most interesting findings we got from that. And the goal in doing that was, again, to add value to the conversation. We didn't know that much about the state of remote work ourselves. We learned from other companies putting out reports like Buffer. They have a fantastic remote work report that they put out every year. And we thought, well, what value can we add? What data can we add that people can use when they're making these decisions? And the flip side of that is having data is a great way to get people to link to your content, to link back to your website. So we then ended up using some of that data and some of those interesting findings to pitch reporters and pitch media about remote work and about how the future of work is changing. So doing that remote work report was a new thing for us, but it's something we'll likely keep doing this year and for future years as well. So that was a big undertaking, but I'm glad that we did it and we're trying that.
Good bit of content marketing there, just like HubSpot is well known for.
Absolutely, yes. So leading on our inbound marketing roots is always how our employer brand team is thinking. So I would consider that remote work report more of a long-form content offer if I had to categorize it, which was a great thing for us to do because a lot of the other kind of fragmented and siloed content is value add as well. So the other thing we're focused on is amplifying the experiences and voices of our remote community. So whether that's on HubSpot's career blog, by doing employee profiles, using HubSpot Life social channels to do takeovers and just show you a day in the life of a remote worker, and supporting our remote community and creating LinkedIn content or writing blogs if they want to. We've really just tried to find proactive as well as some like self-serve programs to help our own remote community share their voices and share their experiences.
Great. And what have you learned from doing this, maybe even the hard way?
Great question. I would say my big learning here is that you really can't just jump on the bandwagon. You have to commit internally. And this goes for if you're trying to build a remote employer brand, it goes if you're trying to build a more inclusive employer brand. Similarly, if you're not committed to diversity and diverse hiring internally, you can't just jump on the bandwagon and say that you're an inclusive place to work. So I think it all starts internally. And a big learning for me on this was we intentionally didn't start marketing HubSpot as a great place to work remotely until recently. And that wasn't because we forgot to or we were busy. It was because we truly were doing the work internally to make that true. The big learning here is just do the work internally, focus on your culture, focus on fixing the things that employees are struggling with and what their challenges are. And then you can start telling the story and it'll become a lot easier to tell that story.
All right. So you've given us lots of ideas here, but what would be your number one tip to our listeners?
So this isn't a hack and this isn't a quick tip, so you might not like it, but I think it's the most important. And that goes back to the listening piece. So the biggest learning over the past few months for me and my team between COVID-19 and between the current situation in the US with racial injustice is that no one needs more noise from companies. And this is always true. This is not just true now, but more than ever, you need to add value. You can't add noise. And that's not just true during hard times. It's true always. Really focus on avoiding doing that in your content and in your messaging and in your marketing by adding value. And I think the best way to do that is by listening to remote employees and what matters to them. Listen to your candidates, listen to people who are interviewing remotely with you and their feedback. Listen to what other companies are doing and saying about remote work. Listen to the data. It's all about listening. And then I think you can really figure out where you go from there in your own branding and how you can add unique value and how your organization can be a differentiator.
Right. So Hannah, I know you're very passionate about what you do. So tell us what it is that makes you love your job so much.
I do. I do love my job so much. I've been at HubSpot 8 years. So there is a reason for that. I love the company, but I also love my job. It's a great question. If I had to boil it down, I love my job because at my core, I am a marketer. I love creative marketing. I love writing. I love PR. But I love doing it for a product that I care about, and that product is people, and it's our company culture. I think that is so important. I have seen HubSpot put in the work to get it right. So I'm really passionate about sharing that story and doing it through creative marketing. The other piece is I really love my team. I know everyone says that, but I love the people I work with. I have a great team. You know, I think employer brand used to be considered a nice to have, but over the past few years, we've seen ourselves, and I think other companies have, that it's a certain kind of marketing that can have a huge impact on a company's ability to grow and scale over time. So even if that impact isn't always measurable or always totally clear, I'm excited for the future of employer brand because I think it's becoming a business critical function to have and not just a nice to have.
Yeah, absolutely agree with that. Great. Okay, so final question. Where can our listeners learn more about the work you do? Where can they check out the Remote Employer Brand, and where can they connect with yourself?
I'd love for you to follow me on Twitter. I follow you back. So I'm HB Fleischman on Twitter. I post a lot on LinkedIn, sometimes too much. That's just a warning. So connect with me on LinkedIn, reach out there. And then HubSpot's careers website is hubspot.com/careers. So you'll find our remote page really easily if you're interested in that. And then a bunch of other content stemming from that. So that's a good place to start.
Fantastic. All right. So this was your second time around, Hannah. Look forward to having you back for a third time to tell us how it's been going with this remote employer branding. But thank you so much for sharing your insights and wisdom with us today.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me back.
Okay, that is it, folks. Be sure to reach out to Hannah. We'll put a link in the show notes and you can thank her there on social media somewhere. Second, you may want to consider subscribing to this podcast at employerbrandingpodcast.com, as well as on Apple, Spotify, Google, SoundCloud, etc. And if you really enjoyed this episode and the podcast in general, please help us out by leaving a review on one of these platforms. Now, finally, how do you measure employer brand? Well, we have developed the Employer Brand Index, which is our way of finding out what's being said about your organization in an employment context. So we have a team of talent analysts who collect obtainable data points out there, analyze all that patterns, and deliver a full report of insights with a clear action plan. And this contains a final score over all the areas of employer brand and your employer brand index in general, which can then, of course, be measured over time. So you learn what part of your EB strategy works, and perhaps more importantly, which one does not work. So the Employer Brand Index is trusted by companies such as PepsiCo, L'Oreal, and Mars. If you are ready to establish your index baseline, go to employerbrandindex.co to check it out. That was it. Look forward to catching up with you next time. Hey!
So, you know, I was going to tell you a joke about a broken pencil, but it didn't have a point.